Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. The good news in Washington, D.C., and this is weird good news, but it's good news, is that the arguments against same-sex marriage before the United States Supreme Court are so ridiculous that they could be mistaken for an article in The Onion, which is the Washington, D.C.'s the nation's satirical newspaper. So we're going to have some laughs at their expense. I'm going to talk about that. The bad news is about 50 miles away in Baltimore, which some call the twin city of Washington, D.C. They used to be very separate cities, but they've kind of grown together, where an entire community is on edge because, yet again, some awful thing was done by police to a black man. We still don't know all the details of what happened to Freddie Gray. Some say that he was stopped because he had a switchblade. Others say he was stopped because he looked at police and then ran the other way. We do know he'd been convicted on drug charges, but that's just drug charges, and we can talk about why I'm against the war on drugs, why I think it causes more damage than good. But the worst thing, of course, is after he was arrested and his face was down, they threw him in the paddy wagon, face down, head first, ankles bound, arms bound, is a direct quote from one of the witnesses. He had asthma. He had his knees and his back and his head. And within about half hour later, he was unconscious. By the way, here it is. I got it right here. The charging documents, this is what the police said they arrested him for. I want you to catch this. He was stopped because he fled unprovoked when noticing police presence. Got it? He saw there were cops and he ran. Not because he was wanted. Simply he looked at them and ran. Should that be against the law? Should be against the law to run? Not when the cop tells you to stop. Not when the cop says, hey, just a minute, I want to talk to you. But just because you don't want to deal with cops in one of the roughest neighborhoods in Baltimore, and you've been arrested in the past on drug charges, so you run. After they got him, this is important, after they apprehended him, they found a switchblade clipped inside his pants pocket. Now remember, in many states in the United States, they're arguing you can have concealed guns on your person, which I disagree with, unless you are a police officer. This guy had a switchblade in one of the roughest, toughest neighborhoods in Baltimore. You know, I'd recommend mace. Probably the switchblade was cheaper. Anyway, he died. He died. Whatever he did wrong, he died in the hands of police. Now, there are some differences, of course. Baltimore is a city controlled. Its whole leadership is African-American. The city is largely African-American. The leadership is African-American. Does that matter? Or is this something that just happens throughout our communities to black men? And again, this is the part I find most disturbing, and I wanted to double-check that, and I'm right. He was not arrested for the switchblade. He was arrested because he saw the police and ran. Is that probable cause to arrest somebody? I want to hear from you on that. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, of course, is my toll-free number. Before we get to that very tough, difficult question, I want to have a little fun. This is based on an article by Dana Milbank in the Washington Post. Dana read the briefs in the same-sex marriage case. And the conservative briefs, the argument against same-sex marriage, goes something like this. If you allow gay people to marry, 900,000 innocent lives will be lost. Now follow me here, because it might not necessarily seem logical to you. Apparently, there'll be 900,000 abortions, if gay people can get married. Now, why would gay people getting married, lesbian couples getting married, why would that cause abortion? Well, the reason is because single women have abortions at higher rates than married women. Still not following? If you're still not following, then you're sane, so that's good. I'm glad you're still not following. The conservative legal group, this is a lawyer by the name of Gene Schar. Gene Schar argues that when gay people get married, that causes less people to get married. Now, he has not actually proven this statistically. And in fact, although marriage overall is going down across the country, interestingly, when gay couples want to get married, not surprisingly, it tends to go up. But he argues that overall, because marriage rates are declining and have been declining in this country for 50 years, that basically, because, and the only way this makes sense, logically, is because all straight people, or a ton of straight people, really, really, really are gay. And really, there's no such thing as heterosexuality. The only thing that compels straight couples to get married at all is the fact that gay couples can't get married. Because otherwise, everyone would just marry someone of the same sex. That's the causal chain, because what they're saying is if you allow gay couples to marry, fewer straight couples will marry. And there'll be more unmarried mothers. And therefore, because unmarried women tend to have abortions at a greater rate than married women, which makes sense when you think about it, because most 13-year-olds or 15-year-olds are unmarried, and because married couples tend to want to keep their children more than an unmarried single mother who have a very difficult time given our culture and the fact that we don't provide much for single mothers to raise children, so they often can't afford to have children. But it's not surprising that single women have abortions at greater rates than married women. The real interesting thing is the conservative argument that allowing gay people to marry causes more people to be unmarried. Kind of a weird argument. Allowing marriage causes more people to be unmarried.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.
I love that. I love that. But follow the logic here. It's really, really hard to do, but I want you to try to follow the logic here. You see, and this is from the brief. This is from the conservative brief that argues against same-sex couples, okay? What he says is that allowing gay people to marry basically causes straight people to want to marry less. Because, they say, as I think Groucho Marx once said, that he didn't want to be a member of any club that would have him as a member. The idea apparently is that if gay people can get married, then suddenly marriage isn't that valuable anymore. I mean, why would a man and a woman who love each other and want to raise a family want to get married if gay people can get married? Apparently, straight people's hatred of gay people is so large that it outweighs their love for one another, the conservatives are apparently arguing. And therefore, they won't get married. And therefore, when the woman gets pregnant without getting married, then she's going to have more abortions, 900,000 apparently, and therefore 900,000 fetuses will die. Yes, that is apparently the best argument they've got. I don't think I need to point out that statistically it's not true, that in fact, in states that have legalized same-sex marriage, like Massachusetts and Vermont, that their marriage rates went down slightly, but Texas and Utah, which didn't have same-sex marriage, dropped dramatically. It's just really stupid. But the person who's making the argument, you'll be proud to know, is a former law clerk to Justice Antonin Scalia. So at least we can kind of feel like we know where this guy's coming from. Huh. Anyway, the best part about it is that that's what they're resorting to now. If the arguments are this bad, as I've long argued on this show for at least a year now, there's no question that come June, 2 months, same-sex marriage will be nationwide. That's the good news. The bad news is happening in Baltimore right now, and I want to turn back to that, and I also encourage you to call in on either topic at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Is what's going on in Baltimore just another example of police beating up and killing black men? And should it matter that the leadership in Baltimore is all black itself? What is this battle we have here? How do we resolve the fact that there is a battle in our streets, that the police can't seem to separate innocent from guilty, and it seems that all black men are guilty until proven innocent? Give me a call at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
That we have to dig into and look and see exactly if there's more that was there. Just running, there is no law against running.
I'll tell you what I do know, and right now there's still a lot of questions I don't know. I know that when Mr. Gray was placed inside that van, he was able to talk, he was upset, and when Mr. Gray was taken out of that van, he could not talk and he could not breathe.
It's clear that what happened inside the van. And we don't have any procedure that would have an officer riding in the back of the van with the suspect. So even if the officers had body cameras, it would not cover that period of time.
Do you think that either something happened in the van, could this have been whiplash, or do you think this injury was responsible of another human?
Listen, I am deeply troubled by this. We all want to know, but I can't answer what I don't know.
That was the police and the mayor of Baltimore talking about the death of Freddie Gray, a young man who only was stopped by police because when they arrived in his very crime-ridden area of Baltimore, he saw them and he started to run away. He was arrested. They did find a switchblade on him. Thrown into the van, he was conscious. He left the van unconscious and dead soon after. This is Mark Levin. Here we go again. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Mike in Massachusetts. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Mark. This first-time caller. I was in a bad neighborhood. I lived there, and I came out of my door and started jogging. I'm a big, chubby white guy.
Okay.
Over to my mother's house, who lived kitty corner. And
I appreciate the self-knowing this, by the way. I appreciate that, you know, the honesty there. But go ahead. Big, chubby white guy. All right, Mike, go ahead.
the police turned the siren on and had me come over to the car, check my ID and everything.
Really? And you were jogging?
And And I said, what's going on? They said, well, why did you run when you saw us? I said, I didn't even see you. I came out of my door.
You were jogging. You're trying to lose some weight.
Yeah. I'm just going over to my mother's house. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, if I was black or Spanish,
oh, yeah, you'd
be
dead.
In the back seat right now.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. You said this is in Massachusetts. It's in Boston?
No, Western Massachusetts.
Western Mass. So they're bad neighborhoods in Western Mass? I guess so.
Well, it's one of those Section 8 housing.
Uh-huh. There you go. So because poor people get aid from the federal government to find affordable housing, the police assume that anyone who runs from that house must be up to no good. My guess is if they were in one of the nicer areas of town and they saw someone run outside the house, they probably wouldn't have even questioned that
would
person.
Would never have occurred to them to stop them.
So that's interesting, because part of this it's not just racist, it's classist, really.
Poor.
Right. Police attack poor people.
Yep. And
now,
always been a big supporter of police and troops, but, you know, I was very angry that day, and I let a lot of people know it.
Well, look, and I want to be clear, and so no one misunderstands me, I would never claim to say that all police are bad, or even most police are bad. I will say that too many police are bad, and anyone who's a good cop will probably agree with me. So I'm certainly not attacking all of them. I am, however, noticing, as the whole nation is, that this is a repeated pattern. And it's a repeated pattern, frankly, that's gone on for decades. But we're just starting to notice it now, and I thank the community that is angry, that is protesting, whether in Ferguson, Missouri, or in Staten Island, New York, or in South Carolina, or now in Baltimore. It's the community marching that people are starting to notice these things, which happen, I'm sure, far more often than even these very famous cases. In the case of Gray, he's a 25-year-old man, and he was stopped because he, quote, fled unprovoked upon noticing police presence, unquote. And that's what the cops say. That's their view. That's looking at it in the best light, according to the police officer, right? There's two sides to every story. Freddie Gray could have, just like you, Mike, been jogging. Or maybe he didn't want to talk to police. And you know what? You have no obligation, unless the police have an arrest warrant or you've committed a crime. You have no obligation. In fact, even if you've committed a crime, you have no obligation to talk to police. You have the right under the Fifth Amendment to remain silent. And anyone who's read Miranda warnings knows that. You have zero obligation to talk to the police. None. Never. Because, and I'm not saying people shouldn't. If they ask you a question, if you witnessed a horrible crime, I think you should talk to the police. But running away from the cops when he hasn't committed a crime and they don't have a warrant and they're not out to arrest him, that's not probable cause. So before we even get to the issue of why Gray was murdered in that van, sorry, killed, allowed to die, not given his asthma medicine, whatever you want to call it, we can address the question of why he was stopped in the first place. Stay on, Mike, if you'd like. I want to encourage others to call in as well. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
We all want to know, but I can't answer what I don't know. I know Mr. Gray suffered a very traumatic injury. But I don't know if it happened prior to him getting into the van or while he was in the van. I don't know.
Was there somebody in the van with him in the back?
No, Mr. Gray was the only one on that side of the van. And it wasn't until the very end that another suspect was placed in the van, who we have interviewed. But that suspect was on the other side of a metal barrier.
So Freddie Gray stopped by police because he ran from police, was arrested, and he suffered a traumatic injury in the back of the police van. In fact, 80% of his spine was severed. The police admit that Freddie Gray asked for help with his asthma. He asked for asthma medication. He said he suffered from asthma, and in fact, they did not provide him with that medical care. We don't know how his spinal cord was severed. How does that happen? Does somebody stop breathing and then bangs his head against the metal? Who knows? His spine was virtually severed in the neck area. He lapsed into a coma and died 7 days later. Was he gasping for breath? Should the police carry asthma medication? Probably. Should they arrest a man for running away from police with no arrest warrant? I think not. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Been talking with Mike from Massachusetts. Mike is, in his own words, I would never call you this, Mike, but in your own words, you called yourself a, quote, big, chubby, white guy, unquote. And you described how you went to run in an area of Western Mass that was not such a great neighborhood and how you were stopped. I know you had more to say. Go ahead.
Well, I was just listening during the, when I was waiting that about the comments about not knowing what happened in the back of the van. Now, I was, why don't they have cameras in all the police cars? They're really cheap nowadays. And as far as the body cams, they should be shut off automatically when you go in the station. And other than that, they should be on all the time. They shouldn't be able to shut them off.
That's a great question.
Police shouldn't have the same right to privacy while they're working.
Absolutely not. No, that is a great question. I am a big supporter of body cameras. And I don't know, maybe they didn't even think about car cameras. They will now, inside the car cameras. You know, so there's some taxi cabs. Right now, and you're right, cameras are so cheap that they have them on street corners sometimes. And here's the deal about this tape, for all of you who are worried about privacy. And I do care about privacy, although I would think that someone who's been arrested by a police officer would prefer to be taped than not to be taped. But the way these tapes work, security cameras, by the way, work the same way. They're on a loop. You may wonder how security cameras film 24/7, you know, every day. That's a lot of film, right? Even a lot of digital capacity to film 24/7 every day for a year. That's a lot of footage, and it's nothing happening. Well, what they do is, after 2 weeks or so, they loop. If nothing happened in 2 weeks, it starts recording, you know, 2 weeks later, and 2 weeks ago gets erased. And that's fine, because if something goes wrong, you'll know about it in 2 weeks. Here we certainly knew something goes wrong. So they could have a running loop inside the car. You're absolutely right, Mike. And my guess is that after this incident, that's going to start happening in police cars all across the country. I hope so.
Well, we need to bring it up and tell them to do it.
No question about it. Absolutely. Let me ask you this question. I'm just back to your own situation. When you took out for a run to jog, the police asked you why you ran when you saw them, and you said, I didn't see you, I just ran, right?
I just walked out the door. Didn't even see the police car.
Right. And they pulled out. Did they, like, pull a gun on you, or would they say stop, or what happened then?
They turned on the lights and sirens.
Okay.
And made me come over to the car and show them my ID and stuff.
Right. Which, by the way,
I lived and...
one thing about the ID, there's no requirement that you carry an ID in the United States of America. Yes, you need a driver's license to drive, but you don't need a runner's license to run. There's absolutely no requirement in the United States of America some countries have that you carry an ID at all times. What if you hadn't had your ID?
I thought there were some states where you had to have an ID in like $20 and
not a single one. No. You need a driver's license to drive. That makes sense. You do not need to carry an ID if you're a passenger in a car, if you're running, if you're walking. And in fact, when the police ask for your ID, and this is the part that's a little dangerous, so make sure you're in the daylight and you get the officer's walk number, but you can say, why, officer, are you arresting me for something? And if he says no, then you can say, then do you have any reason to believe I've committed a crime? And if they say no, then you say, well, I'm going to be on my way. You have a good day, officer. Now, be nice about it, because they're, you know, they don't like it very much. But, you know, and maybe they'll argue that you ran outside the crosswalk, you know, or they'll find something. It's hard to say that your taillight was broken when you're wearing pants. maybe they could say it. But you know. Look, it kind of depends on the cop. If I think someone's sincere and a police officer is genuinely investigating a crime, I believe in helping them out. I think a lot of police officers are hardworking. And listen, particularly if they're investigating a crime, I want them to catch the criminal. But if I feel like I'm just being harassed, I'm a lawyer, and so I take a few more liberties than most, and I would never do this at night, and I, you know, and gotta look in their eyes, and if they look like they might harm you, you gotta do what they say. But simply saying to the officer, why do you ask for my ID? Are you arresting me? Or, you know, why do you want my ID? Under what, because they don't have a right to ask. If you're driving, yes. If a cop pulls you over, don't please understand me here. If you're driving and a cop pulls you over, you must show a driver's license. You were doing something driving that requires a license. You must show your license to drive. If the cop stops you hunting, you must show your hunter's license if it's required, which it probably is in Massachusetts, and it should be. That makes sense. If you're on someone else's property, they may ask you if you have permission to be there, because otherwise you could be trespassing. But if you're walking on a public way, on a sidewalk, as you described, Mike, you're just running on a public street that everyone has the right to run on, I would say, why are you asking? I mean, again, I'm a lawyer here, so I know a little bit more of my rights, but I would say, why are you stopping me? And they said, you have an ID. I would say, well, first of all, I'd like to know if you think I have violated any law. Well, you ran when you saw us. Is there a law officer that says that I am not allowed to run when I see a police officer? Oh, well, it shows that you think you've done something wrong. Could you point out to me that law? And if you want to, if you have time for it, and again, you don't want to do this at night. You want to do this when, not if you have like a crazy officer that's going to hurt you. But I would probably say, officer, please cite for me the statute, the law that says you have a right to stop me for running on a public street, crossing at all the lights. You know, if I haven't committed a crime, then I intend to be on my way. And if you do arrest me, you'll understand if I file a complaint. And that should let you go. Now, again, it's a risky maneuver. It's one that I would do because that's kind of who I am, and I am a lawyer. And again, if he gets that look in his eyes, or her eyes, but usually the worst cops are male cops. If he gets that look in his eyes and like he's going to harm you, then you do what you do with anyone who gets a look in his eyes like he's going to harm you, and you comply. It doesn't matter whether it's a cop with a gun or a criminal with a gun. You obey the man with the gun, and then you go after them later, unless you have training that I don't have. But the point is that it's a long story to say, Mike, you do not have to carry ID to walk the streets of America, period.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Absolutely, period. There is no federal law. There is no state law. Again, you only have a right to be on your own property, a place where you're invited, a place that's open to the public or the streets. If you're on your neighbor's property, you know, they have a right to stop you. But you were on the public sidewalk. You know, and you weren't obstructing traffic. They could stop you. You know the laws. You know, you weren't walking outside the crosswalk. I mean, we could think of little ways they could get you. But just walking on the sidewalk or running on the sidewalk? I mean, maybe if you bowled someone down, you bumped into somebody. You know, okay, all right. I mean, but these kinds of things are common sense, and we are not required to carry IDs. And in fact, one of the problems with the voter ID laws that Republicans are trying to pass all across the country is precisely that lots of people don't have them, particularly if you live in a big city, you travel on public transportation. There are many, many people who don't have driver's licenses. And
I didn't have one until I was 24.
There you go.
I was in New York.
There you go. And did you vote before you were 24?
Yeah.
You did. Do you remember how you voted?
I had a regular ID. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like a college ID or something. Here's the thing. Yeah. Some people have no ideas whatsoever. And I've always said that if they want to make voter ID laws, they have to give IDs to everybody. And they don't. They don't give it to you for free. Sometimes they require you to pay for one. But there's this constitutional amendment that says you can't have a poll tax. And if they require you to buy an ID, an ID is required to vote, then guess what? That's a poll tax. It's the 24th Amendment to the Constitution, yep, which prohibits that. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying that you want to stand your ground. You know the cops in your neighborhood. You know the risks you're taking. I'm letting you know that legally you could have stood your ground. And, of course, the problem, and we're going to get back to this after the break, the problem is that a black man who stands his ground is far more likely to end up dead. And that's the real problem with racism in our country.
And I thought that immediately. I honestly did. I said, I'm lucky I'm not black or Spanish.
Yep. I hear you. Thanks for calling in, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, if you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
At 8:42 and 52 seconds, a wagon is requested for transport. At that point, Mr. Gray asks for an inhaler.
Freddie Gray never got his inhaler. By the time the van arrived at the police headquarters, 80% of his spine had been severed. What happened to Freddie Gray? Why did he die in custody? Why was he taken in custody in the first place, when all he did was run when he saw the police? Let's go to Rod from New Jersey, line one. Hey, Rod, how are you?
Just fine. Thank you very much. I was calling. First, I wanted to comment a little bit on that Baltimore story.
Yeah.
I saw something on Yahoo yesterday, a news article, and it really didn't answer too many questions. Basically, it just had the police account of what happened. And, of course, they said he had a switchblade knife, and I guess there was an altercation in the van or something, but no indication of how his spine might have been severed. So I found that kind of interesting. What I was calling about was I used to live in Columbus, Ohio, and on a Saturday morning I had an emergency and had to get to the bank and draw some money out.
Mm-hmm.
The nearest branch was on the north side of Capitol Square across the street from the state capitol. And I had forgotten that there was a Ku Klux Klan rally on the west steps of the state house that day.
Mm.
Also a counter demonstration, and the police had cordoned off the entire area. Apparently mm-hmm. they also cordoned off the area where I had to go to get to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So I approached, there were like three policemen there in, three Columbus policemen in full riot gear. Each one of them, I'm only about 5'7", and they were all about a head taller than I was.
Uh-huh.
And so I was a little bit agitated because it was like 5 to 12 and the bank was going to close at 12. And I said, hey, I need to get to the bank. Can I get through? And they didn't say anything, but one of them started toward me. And I don't know what his intentions were, but I thought it best that I get out of there. So I just held my hand and said, okay, and I left. So, you know, how close I came to getting beat up, I don't know. Draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's different. You were trying to enter a secured area. They had the right to keep you out of there. Now, they certainly had not the right to beat you up. But,
to a certain extent. But, you know, did they overdo it? Because, I mean, this was quite a distance from, granted, I had forgotten about the rally.
Well, did you cross a police tape?
Yes. On Monday, first day of business, I called and explained what the situation was. And they said, basically, okay, we'll take it down. You know, thank you for your call, and that's the last I heard of it.
No, I'm just wondering whether at the time that the police gave you a hard time, you'd actually crossed the police tape. You know that yellow line they put up? It says, you know, police line, do not cross. You ever seen those, yellow and black tape?
Yeah, there was nothing like that.
Okay, well, then that's different. Then you have a right to walk in a public place, and they should have left you alone. So, I mean, if it wasn't clear that the area was cordoned off, then I don't think you did anything wrong. So, thanks for your call, Rod. I appreciate it. Let me get to Alan in New Mexico on line 5. Hey, Alan, how are you?
Fine. Doing good. Mark, a lot of times when the cops pull you over, you know, on the sidewalk or something, and they ask for your ID,
yeah,
they'll use the excuse that you match the description of a perpetrator or whatever.
Yeah, what they'll do is they'll go through their whole list, and they'll say, okay, wait, I need a 5'7" white guy, or probably not even that specific, you know, under 6 feet white guy. And there's got to be some under 6 feet white guy in his 30s that's done something wrong. And so when you think about it, unless, you know, you're an 83-year-old woman, because there are probably not many of those that are wanted, you're right. They can usually find something that meets some vague description and stop you. But here's the thing. If you ask them, they should have to tell you there and then. And if they haven't done their research and they're just stopping you because, oh, you looked at them and ran, they may not know that they're looking for a person who meets your physical description. So I think it's perfectly fair at any time to say to particularly an officer stopping you or asking you questions, before you answer the question, say, officer, may I ask why you're asking the question? Now, again, if you've been speeding, if you've done something that you know is illegal, don't go this route. But when you have done nothing wrong, say, officer, may I ask why you're stopping me? And they say, just show me your ID. That's when you can say, officer, I happen to know the law. I happen to know that you can't ask for my ID unless you have reason to believe, or use the word probable cause, and they'll really have suspicious. You know something about the law. Officer, unless you have probable cause to believe that I have committed some kind of crime, I believe I have a right not to show you my ID. And unless you're going to say that you will use force or arrest me if you don't show you my ID, I don't intend to do so. Now, if you're telling me you'll arrest me otherwise, then again, I'd like to know your reasoning. And because I certainly intend to challenge this in court. And if you speak that way calmly, not irately, not yelling, no way resisting or thrashing your hands, but do so in a very credible, calm manner, they should leave you alone. And I've actually done something similar to that. Mine was
What do you do when they say you match the description?
Well, what you do is you say, okay. You say I match the description. What is the description, please? I want to know. And what is the person accused of? Because I, you know, you're telling me I match some description. I want to know what that description is. And I, frankly, I want to know whether you have real reasonable grounds to stop me or you're just harassing me. And so give me the description. Is it a, you know, a person of a certain, and what's the crime they're accused of? And let me know. Because if they say, we don't want to tell you, then the answer is, well, officer, I don't think that's probable grounds to stop because I have no evidence that you actually have a description, as you say. And if you do, I don't see why you wouldn't tell me that. But in any case, unless you're going to arrest me, I'm going to be on my way. Have a nice day, officer. And again, be very polite about it. And if they say, well, we are going to arrest you, then depending on what you want to do, you know, you may just want to go home. But if it's a problem in your neighborhood, then, you know, if it were me and I weren't that busy that day, I'd probably go through it just so I could file a complaint against harassing police officers. But that's kind of who I am. I'm a lawyer. I'm kind of difficult that way. You know, I've done something similar before. It's a longer story. I don't have time to tell you. But basically, I was doing a protest in California at the Republican National Convention, actually, in 1996. And I was legally protesting, and the police officer threatened to arrest me. And I said, officer, do what you have to do, but understand that if you do, I'll be suing you personally as well as the city of San Diego and the city of California for unlawful arrest. And I am a lawyer, and I do intend to seek damages, but obviously you'll do what you have to do, and I'm certainly not resisting arrest. And he walked away. It's Mark Levine. Talk to you tomorrow.